This is the Kindy Rockstars Podcast, Season 4. Bringing you incredibly talented singers, artists, creators, and producers in the genre of children's music. I'm your host, Patrick Adams. Each episode will feature songs, albums, videos, or live performances, along with great stories from the artists themselves. Kindy Rockstar Season 4 is proud to be supported and sponsored by Waltmania Public Relations, serving the family entertainment community for more than 20 years. And now, on with the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Kindy Rockstars. I am happy to have good friend of the show back on, Steve Coolbeans Pallera. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's always fun.
All right. Well, it's been a few months since we talked, and we are here today to feature your new album called Aquarium Rhapsody, which is very, very interesting. And excited to talk to you about it. But any other news to share before we jump into that?
Well, we landed a NAPA Award for that album, and the NAPA Award is a National Association of Parenting Products Award. So it was evaluated, and it was evaluated as a good product for children. So we're very happy about that. And that's going to go in magazines and end-of-the-year roundups. The award comes with all those things that they feel you've earned for publicity of the product. So we're happy about that.
It's a very blessing. Cool. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, what I love about you in particular is how you theme albums. I kind of do the same thing. Mm-hmm. But you go all in on some musical stylings that is quite interesting. You did an a cappella album, mm-hmm. which was a lot of fun. And this one is very, very in the classical mode. So I'm excited to hear the story behind this. What inspired you to do this kind of album? What inspired the songs, the theme, all that good stuff? So if you're ready to jump in and to talk about Aquarium sure. Rhapsody, let's do it.
Well, the songs don't just happen overnight. They're not even songs. It's music. I guess you call them pieces because there's no singing. And I'm always trying to come up with something different. And this time I decided, you know what? What if I imagine my pieces as fish and frogs, things that I liked and still do like, because I've had a fish tank pretty much my whole life. So we're talking, we got our first fish tank in the house before I moved away, and we got that on a Christmas. And so that I was about 12. So my age now says that I've had a fish tank for pretty much 50 something years of my life. And it's always given me comfort and entertainment. And I thought, how would it be to have an aquarium theme of all music? And even each piece in the collection having something to do with aquatic. And also taking kids through a journey of different stylings of even avant-garde composers. And to have classical instruments, actual instruments. So the album has got actual flautists, actual piano player, actual drums, actual guitar, and actual cello, no voice. And you can even hear the bow moving. You can hear the buttons being pressed on the flutes, the guitar squeaking a little, which it should. The drum, you can hear the actual skin with the drumsticks. So it has a lot of texture. And every piece has a child's heart in mind. Most children are fascinated with frogs. My cousin Peggy and I used to, when we're on vacation, we would fill a box up with toads. That was a big thing. It's time. It's getting dark. Get your flashlight. So we walk up down the sidewalk and put these poor toads in a box. And mysteriously, the next morning, somebody opened the box. We did figure out it was our parents doing that. And we would catch the same frogs and toads the next night and put them in a box up and down a sidewalk in Florida. They were gigantic toads. And these are things that, you know, fascinate children. So to have music for that, and people are picking up on it without any description at all. The title alone tells you the whole story, and the beautiful comments are coming in like really wildfire. It's just really exciting to see adults sharing it with children. They're calming, and some are excitable. There's one called Avoiding the Hooks. That's me on a flute, all one take. And it's about a fish trying to avoid the hook, but trying to get the bait off. And you can imagine that. There's all kinds of wonderful titles. One tune that I was developing was starting to sound like something Philip Glass would have in his style. And so I brought it to my friend Pat, who's a co-producer and arranger on the album. And we called it Philip's Glass Tank. And that one has a styling of his. Not a copy, just a styling. And the Aquarium Rhapsody itself, I like the work of George Gershwin, and I came to read that his Rhapsody in Blue was a scandal at the time because he brought jazz into classical music. And a rhapsody is lots of different stylings that in some way complement each other and contrast each other. That piece took 3 years to complete. And I wrote it on guitar. And I don't write music in the sense with notes. I write them in a sense of the chord. This chord goes here. This one has plucking. And that's where my friend Pat came in and arranged. And, you know, he told me what they look like on notation. And we were able to bring in artists based on notation. You know, you want a cello here and you want a flute there. And it was just, what a project. What a lot of fun. What a lot of learning. And working with classical artists was truly a joy and a very eye-opening experience on how they record. Classical artists do record differently in the sense that there's no, let's say, if you had a keyboard playing drums, so you could play drums on a keyboard. In this category, that is not permitted. A drum is a drum. A cello is a cello. A guitar is a guitar. A flute is a flute. There's no key pressing to get a flute sound. So that was a wonderful visual experience, too. Too bad we didn't film any of it, but it was just wonderful. And we got wonderful musicians and wonderful production staff, producers with me that, you know, they're unsung heroes, too, that they did a lot of things behind the scenes that make this all happen. And I listed them all. If you go to my Facebook or actually go to my website, coolbeansmusic.com, there's photos of people in action, or some are posed and just nice faces. And I say what they're all doing because we were a big family and everybody did such a great job on every piece. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, we're gonna feature five songs from this album. But before we get into talking about the songs, just to kind of give my take on this, because I've had a couple listens to it. And I have a young daughter, and actually two young daughters, but you know, sometimes at night they don't go to sleep right away. Mm-hmm. So we find things on YouTube for them to watch, and when we know it's time to wind them down,
okay,
there's this YouTube thing that is basically like a fish tank, and it's fish kind of going across a screen with nice classical sort of lullabies that everyone is familiar with. Mm-hmm. But as I was listening to this, I could totally imagine that, you know, from the aquarium concept to the calm, you know, delightful music that was playing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I could just imagine that visually. So I related to it quite a bit because uh-huh. It just felt like that, hey, this is something I'll get my daughter to listen to and, yep. And enjoy a, you know, good classical music. So, mm-hmm. Good for you on this one. This is a very interesting album. Excited to talk to you about some of the individual songs, mm-hmm. You know, the instruments that you used, that you chose, that, you know, how the song was pulled together. Mm-hmm. So if you're good, we can jump into a few of those.
Sure. And I like the fact that, I'm presuming you're talking about the video we put out about 5 or 6 days ago. Aquarium Rhapsody does have a video and I ask the videographer to find aquariums from all over the world of families and people going into aquariums. So you see the silhouette of them in a blue horizon and painting, basically with real animals. And the footage is just stunning. It actually had me teared up because it was exactly what I wanted. Like, there's a little girl with her hand on the glass in a big aquarium, and she's moving the glass, and the seal is a seal, an actual seal is following her hand. And she's young enough to think that this is, you know, she could go in there with this wheel. I think he's just following her hand wherever it goes, you know, and it shows you even sharks at peace with other fish that normally might be lunch. You know, they're all swimming exactly. around. And it all goes beautifully with the music. And the videographer said, you know, Steve, it seems like this whole rhapsody was written like for these aquariums, because everything, pardon the pun, flows very well. That's what I'm saying. And, you know, you've seen how the aquarium does go well with the music. And it was written deliberately with this in mind and different creatures that would be in an aquarium, even pearl divers, which if you go to some of the amusement parks that have themes. There's one in Florida in SeaWorld where you're watching pearl divers. They have a giant tank and there's live oysters under there, and you pick one and then they go down and they get it. It's all part of the show. And so that was in my memory. So there's one tune there called The Pearl Divers too. So I'm glad that you liked it and it worked for your daughter. And I'm curious to see which ones you picked.
All right. Well, let's start with Frog Hop.
Cool.
Tell us a little bit about this song and then we will play it for everyone.
Well, I wrote that on flute. And I had a part in the part that went doo-doo, doo-doo. So it was a big frog talking to a little frog. And the reason why I chose that to do is my godchild Emily was a very active clarinet player. And she was telling me that she was very into her clarinet. And she said that the day that I was watching her play and practice, that they had taught them conversational instrumentation, so that you could have two flutes talking or a flute talking to a guitar. And I never forgot that. And that's the origination of that tune, because we got the bigger frog talking to the little frog. You can almost, somebody said, this sounds like it would be a perfect soundtrack for National Geographic with a frog. So I took that as a compliment because it does have that. You can hear the two frogs talking through flutes. It works, you know? So I'm glad you picked that.
Yep. All right. Well, we are going to play it now for everybody. Cool. Here it is, Frog Hop by Steve Cool Beans Pulera. Thank you. that was Frog Hop. I hope you enjoyed that one. The next one we're going to talk about is called Angelfish. So tell us about this one.
Well, Angelfish came about because they are a graceful fish, very calming. But what's funny is in the aquarium hobbyist world, the joke is they're really not angels, and you don't buy angelfish friends because in the morning you might just find a tail floating. You buy them dinner. They do not like people in their area of the fish tank. They'll chase them away. They'll attack other fish. And if you were to have angelfish in your tank or wanted them, you have to introduce two into the tank on the same day. Because if you put another angelfish in a month later, let's just say it's not a happy thing to see in the morning. They're not little angels. They just happen to have the name angelfish because they're very graceful like angels. They really are beautiful looking fish. And they will grow quite large. I had one that got really big, almost a foot in width of height. They are beautifully graceful creatures. They have stripes on their side because they hide in between vines underwater, seaweeds, and all those lines help them hide. It's like a camouflage. All the colors on a fish and all the designs are to help them distract or to mesh with the environment that they're feeding upon. And angelfish are a type of fish that are really known for their stripes and colors. They're bred all different ways now. You can get golden angelfish, striped, freckled angelfish, but the original one has stripes. And they're graceful and they're very calming to look at when they're in their environment and very happy. So I felt that they would be waltzing through the water. And on a flute, I created the angelfish, and the official title is the Angelfish Waltz. And people really like it a lot. And I'm really flattered that they are commenting on that one as well. And I'm glad you chose it.
Well, I love it when I learn things on this show, and I know a lot more about angelfish now.
There you go.
All right. Well, let's play the song. Here it is, Angelfish by Steve Coolbeans Polera. Thank you. And that was Angelfish. All right. You mentioned avoiding the hooks a little bit earlier. That's the next song we're going to talk about. So great, tell us about great. This one.
Well, avoiding the hooks, again, I'm trying to illustrate things that fish and frogs and aquatic creatures would be doing. It's always fascinating to me, because I am an avid fisherman, how to catch fish. So I would make my own fly rod flies, and there's an art to it. So if you're going to make flies or buy flies, which are artificial lures that are on a type of line that floats, it has air in it, and you got to wiggle it, and it's almost like a whip. It's a different kind of fishing pole. And the art is to convince the fish that this is something they can grab. And I've been successful with that. But I always like the game they play. They'll nip at it and then go away, and they'll nip again. And they kind of take – there's a formula to a fish catching a eating something. So I figured I'd like to illustrate that with music on a flute. So I had I came up with a melody that is kind of an abstract melody, because there's really no – if you'll notice, a lot of the tunes have no hooks, pardon the pun – they go forward, but they have a theme. So we keep coming back to a theme in each composition. And sometimes there's no coming back. It goes forward. This one goes forward in an avant-garde way. So it's flute, drum, so snare drum, and piano, keeping the mood and tension. And believe it or not, what you hear is one take. That's what I presented to my friend. And we went with that one. It keeps the energy level. It's you feel something happening, and you sense it in your mind that this is a fish trying to get bait off of a hook. And you'll notice he gets frustrated and swims away. And it's very cleverly, I don't want to praise myself, but I want to say I tried to make it a very original way of the fish swimming away. So you hear doo-doo-doo-doo. Then you hear a drum, ba-da-ba-boom, and a piano, which symbolizes the water getting agitated. The fish gets agitated, and he comes back, and he gets agitated again. He goes, comes back. He swims around, because they, you know, they're like sharks in a way. They fish kind of eat the same way all the time. So come around again, and he tries to grab it again. Then all of a sudden, it goes, and then he swims away. He's had it for the day. He goes to eat something else. So you kind of feel like you are the fish. And that's the idea. You're either observing it or part of it. And the drums hit just at the right times. And then the avant-garde piano as well. So that is more of a painting than a melody. And it was fun to do. It really was. And that's on a silver flute, that one there, for an orchestral flute. And again, no notes. I don't know how to write notes. I just know how to create tunes, as you might call them, or melodies. What's the right word here? Pieces. Let's just say pieces, because they all have something different going on. The Angelfish is a waltz, easily a waltz, and a child learns of a waltz. One school teacher from New York sent me a video of the kids interpreting the pieces. Isn't that wild?
That's pretty cool.
Right in the heart of New York City, somebody sent, it was a teacher, says, here's something my kids are doing. They really like your piece. It's given them things to think about. So there's a bunch of kids doing a waltz to the Rhapsody. And another one, they're actually doing a dance, an agitated, it might be the avoiding the hooks one. So that's pretty cool that they actually sent that to me. Because I didn't ask for it.
No, that's really awesome.
They found my email and sent it to me. I thought that was really cool.
All right. Well, we're going to play the song now. Here it is, Avoiding the Hooks by Steve Cool Beans Pallera.
Thank you.
And that was Avoiding the Hooks. All right, next song you also touched on a little bit, Pearl Divers. Tell us about this one.
Well, again, trying to keep it an aquatic theme and keeping it all over the place. And also, every one of these could be in a fish tank or in the open sea or a stream or a river or a pond. So I used to go to visit my uncle and aunt in Florida once a year for a while there. And we would go to SeaWorld. And SeaWorld has all different kinds of exhibits that have aquatic themes, obviously. And they have like a, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, tropical island theme in one area. It's a giant fish tank, but it has women pearl diving in it. And it's right near the jewelry store. So you, like, I guess, point to an oyster, and a pearl diver goes in this big tank, and she brings it up. And magically, there happens to be a pearl in there. I think they know there's pearls in all of them. And then you give that to the jeweler, and a jeweler makes them into earrings and those kinds of things with the pearls. And I thought that would be a great idea for another piece of music. And it's titled The Pearl Diver. And I just like turning my songs into these aquatic themes. I just think that they lend so well, you know.
Very good. That's
what we have.
Excellent. All right. Let's check it out. Here is Pearl Divers by Steve Coolbeans Bolera. Thank you. That was Pearl Divers. All right. The last song we're going to talk about here in our song features is the closer of the album, Aquarium Bolero. So tell us a little bit about this one.
Well, while we were designing the album and the flow, again, pardon the pun, of the album, when I was in high school, we had an English teacher who wanted to teach us more than just reading famous books, but more of the humanities as well. And he put this record on called Ravel's Bolero. And he explained that it was all about a bullfight and the tension being mounted of a bullfighter and the bull, and how it became a fight. And I'm not into harming animals, but he was explaining what it was about and how the tension was building. You know, in comes the bullfighter, you know, to the gallant music, which, by the way, those are carryovers from the gladiators. I don't know if you realize that, but they are. Even their outfit is, and they're in Colosseums and fighting an animal as a gladiator would. So it's like all the introduction music, da 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 da, like here's the man, he's the guy. And then you're boom, 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 boom. And he's starting to fight the bull. So, and it also wraps up and it builds a trance-like state. It's designed to do that. And it was, again, a very avant-garde piece at that time. And it's basically following the beat and the rhythm of the drums. So I said, you know, let's give the audience a bolero at the end. And all the instruments that have been in it, they make a visit. And they're exiting the album. So it starts with a pum, 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 pum. It's a real drummer. And then you start to hear the cello. And it's the main theme, which if it had verbiage, it would be, I could watch my tank forever. So you start to, and it just keeps building and building and building. And that's how the album ends, with the drums and all the instruments. And then the instruments fade off after they're introduced. And that's how the album ends. So it has a beginning of an album with a frog teaching a little frog. And it ends that it's almost the end of a play where everybody just starts going across the stage, in our case, going across the swamp. and if, you know, the fish tank in the aquariums. And there you go. And that's why that was chosen to be put there. It's not as long as Vervel's, which is 10 minutes or more. Ours is 3. You know, but I think it keeps kids engaged enough, and they're probably, you know, tapping their hands on the beds or the desks that they're doing their homework with. And it was designed for that. And it was designed for people driving too. This album has a lot of family in mind, as all mine do, as a driving entertainment as well, because you're hearing a lot of things in cars now. You know, it always was that way.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, in the spirit of it being a sort of a closing number, we're going to hold off on playing it until the end of the episode. And that's cool. What we'll end the episode on. So in the meantime, let everybody know, where can they stream, download, and purchase Aquarium Rhapsody? And how can people find and connect with you?
Sure. Go to coolbeansmusic.com. Just follow down to the middle of the website, and you can hear the album for free. I call it gratis. That's the professional word. I wanted everybody to hear the album as much as they want, to share it as much as they want. If you do have Spotify or all these other Apple or Pandora, it's on those. So you can have it in the devices that you are paying a subscription for. On those, it marks royalties to me. So that's nice too, but you can hear it for free. And I encourage you to hear it as much as you want and share it on the free service, which is all part of the same link. And that's on coolbeansmusic.com. And there's buttons on my website to press. They all go to the same site of the various ways you could hear it. And you can also hear a highlight of it with a visual called the Aquarium Rhapsody, which has all kinds of fish and wonderful visuals. It's a 10-minute piece. And I'm hearing that people are really enjoying that a lot. Somebody gave me an idea to encourage people that they can put it on as a screensaver when you're on YouTube, which is where it is, on YouTube, you would look for Aquarium Rhapsody by Steve Polara's Cool Beans Ensemble. That's the group that's, this is not the Cool Beans band on this one, although there's some people from it, but it's called an ensemble, which is a little different than, it's a band in its sense, but it's a classical group. So that's where you would find it. Steve Polara's Cool Beans Ensemble, Aquarium Rhapsody. And that's the actual Rhapsody, which has various tunes that complement and lead you into other tunes. It's a lot of different kinds of tunes all put together as a puzzle, and it's all dealing with this subject matter. So I hope everybody enjoys it, and I do appreciate everybody sending wonderful notes to me and our staff and our fun people that are involved. There's everybody sharing the wonderful notes coming in. So thank you, everybody out there.
That's awesome. And hey, this is a very cool and unique album. And you know, good on you for continuing to make just wonderful music and sharing that with everybody. And thank you for coming on the show.
And thank you.
Always good to catch up.
One last note. I was told, somebody told me, because I asked, they said, we think this is the first Rhapsody specifically designed for children. May be none at all. There's very few Rhapsodies in classical music to begin with. They're out there. But this one has children in mind and families. So there's a difference, you know? So let's hope.
Yep. All right, well, we're gonna take it out here with that last song we talked about, Aquarium Bolero, and thank you once again,
Aquarium Rhapsody Bolero. All right, cool.
All right, take care.
Thank you.